Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1561, air date July 4th, 2025.
All right, everyone. Good evening. This is Dr. Shiva Adure. Today is our orientation. We do this every week, every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. So let's just go into search and go to video. So what we're going to be talking about today is the swarms, what I call it, the bub, the big ugly bill. It's been called a big beautiful bill, but it's actually a pretty ugly bill. What's really important to understand is that it segues into what the previous speaker was just talking about, which is why does Truth, Freedom, and Health, our movement, exist? It exists for a singular reason, to educate as many people who want to learn as possible that we have to build a bottoms-up movement. And what happens when you don't build a bottoms-up movement, that there's no trick, that the Democrats aren't going to do it, electing this guy Zoran Mamdani in New York mayor is not going to do it. It only can occur with a bottoms-up movement, okay? And this is a concept that the swarm does not want the average, ordinary, working-class person to ever understand. They want to poo-poo it. They want to make people think it's not possible. They want to make people depressed and apathetic through a process called learned helplessness. But the core of it is that those in power do not want it. They want to ensure that the average, particularly American worker or world worker, has no idea of the power of building a bottoms-up movement. Okay? So this is something we'll keep hitting over and over and over and over and over and over again. And the only way to overcome that is people going through their own, unfortunate brainwashing, unfortunate learned helplessness. There's so many ways that the swarm affects people's mind and brains to make you apathetic, to think you can't do anything. And that's their central goal. And just as an aside, a guy called Michael Sigelman in the 1960s wrote a very famous paper on learned helplessness. It was actually called Learned Hopelessness. And I've talked about this. You can go review the video, but just very briefly, they tested with mammals how you took two sets of dogs. One set of dogs were put into an environment where they could escape, and the other set of dogs, no matter what they did to try to escape, they could never get out. So they just, both sets of dogs were tortured. And the dogs just said, I can't get out. And they just gave up to this learned helplessness. Many years later, a CIA guy met with Sigelman, and this was used for CIA techniques to manipulate and interrogate people. And I would argue that same technique has now been taken at a mass level to manipulate people. Okay? So that's where we're at. So it's very, very easy, given the level of news people are hit with and over, if you're on social media, it's going to fuck you up pretty badly. You're going to think you can't do anything unless you have the North Star of our movement. So our movement always hits upon over and over again the concept of building a bottoms-up movement in the not-so-obvious establishment. So the big ugly bill is a fantastic opportunity to see the opportunity that we have. So, if you want to really understand this, I want to begin in a couple of ways. So first of all, this bill is going to be one of the biggest wealth transfers in U.S. history. One of the biggest wealth transfers. That's a key thing. The United States Senate on Tuesday passed it, and it was 50-50. And then it was Vance, in the Senate, went, if a bill is 50-50, the Senate president has to come in, which is the vice president of the United States. So passed that, and then also passed the House, okay? But bottom line, it's the biggest transfer of wealth. And it affects particularly the lower two income quartiles. First two, and actually the third. So it's really affecting working people. People actually work for a living. The swarm wants to do two things. They want to create a welfare industrial complex on one side, where they just want to hook people into getting free stuff. And by getting free stuff, it's another way of making people apathetic and learned helplessness. And they have another set of people just move money around all day, the 0.01%. And they want to help those people. You see, so they're actually helping the left and the right of some sorts, okay? Both wings. So they want to push people to not to work. They want to incentivize people not to work. So this guy in New York, Mamdani, on the one hand, he took the wave of the anti-Zionist wave that's been occurring. But then on the other hand, if you actually read what he just wants to give free shit away. Okay. So on the one hand, yeah, it's good to be anti-Zionist. Great. But what's your solution? Your solution is to make people part of the welfare industrial complex. Now, this is very, very different than our program, which we'll talk about. Our program says something different. So if you want to talk about quote unquote socialism, we can define what a real socialism is. If you want to define a real socialism, it's working people seize the means of production. Over the last 70 years, the bourgeois lefties have taken the word socialism and put it into a framework of the welfare industrial complex. It has nothing to do with working people seizing the means of production. It, in fact, is about making sure working people don't work. Okay? They want to create lumpen proletariats. So let me repeat that again. So don't get caught in the stupidity of, oh, well, you know, he's a socialist. No, he's not a fucking socialist. Not a socialist, okay? True socialism, if you want to follow the theory where it comes from, is working people. People who actually work for a living. Run the means of their affairs, seize the means of production. Okay? So Verizon workers and AT&T workers run Verizon. Amazon workers say, fuck you to Jeff Bezos, and they take over Amazon. That's seizing the means of production. It's not giving free shit to people. You guys understand? We have to understand this, so don't get lost. Oh, I'm against socialism. Well, yeah, you're against a welfare industrial state. But if you want to talk about what it was originally meant, working people seize the means of production, that's a fucking good thing, which means we, the people, work our butts off, run the governments of the world, not the 0.01%, not the people who are scamming the system. So what people like Zoran Mamdani want to do, he used the anti-Zionist rhetoric, but if you read it, he wants to take away the Second Amendment and he wants to put people on free shit. So he opens himself up to getting attacked by the right. And this is how they keep the right-left dialectic going, okay? But we must be bold and very clearly define what it means for working people to build a bottoms-up movement. Suresh, if you can bring up the... So I give you an example. You know, very soon, we've launched the Postal Service. We have a flyer. We want to mobilize Postal Service workers to understand that they need to be involved in this process. They need to understand that they run a means of production, which is called the Postal Service, which is about communication. Scroll down, Suresh, and we have a flyer. Everyone can download this flyer. And it says, and it really, I want everyone to read this. You can put the link up there, but you will understand that the Postal Service is actually an infrastructure for the First Amendment for free speech, which is being attacked by the same swarm, which has passed a big, ugly bill, okay? All of them. But you want to understand this because there's 600,000 Postal Service workers. And they have an opportunity because their unions ain't going to do it, guys. Their unions are full of shit, okay? The top-down unions in this country sell out their workers all day. So I'll come back to this, but to just let you know that working people bottoms up need to be mobilized. Nicholas Lupo is a working person, okay? Works for a living. Suresh works for a living, okay? I work for a living. In fact, I work for a living, and most of us are working probably 2 to 3 days of my income is actually going to the welfare industrial complex and is actually going to the swarm. Okay. So the working people of the world are being squeezed. This bill represents one of the biggest transfers of wealth in swarm history. So let me just review how we got here because, for example, there's massive cuts to Medicaid. Now, the reforms I'm talking about are not things that I think are the ultimate solution. However, these reforms came as a result of massive bottoms-up militant movements. So you have to defend the reforms to that extent, not that they were the full solutions. So if you go back to 1939, is when mass movements were occurring at the height of the mass movements in the United States, when the swarm in 1930s was forced to give concessions to these massive militant movements that were taking place in the United States. Let me repeat that again. There were mass militant movements in the United States. And in order to quiet them down, simmer them down, and by the way, those movements were bottoms-up movements. They were emerging. They didn't have all the political theory we offer. If they did, they wouldn't have just taken those concessions. They would have had a full-blown revolution. And so the elites were afraid of that. So to quiet these masses down, They gave them Medicaid. They gave them food stamp programs, you know? And all it, Medicaid, although it did start in 1939, it took place in 1965, but the origins of a national health insurance program started in 1939. So many of the foundational reforms that came because of the depravity of the American working class who fought for them occurred in 1939. But if you look prior to 1939, as we discussed with everyone, it was in the early 1800s and the early 1900s, the working class of America led the world in teaching people how to fight. The white working class of America taught the world working class how to fight. The white working class of America taught the world working class how to fight. The same working class now, which has been bamboozled by this fucker and Biden and Trump, both of them, okay, under the quote-unquote MAGA, to manipulate them so they do not build a bottoms-up movement. Just keep bringing back to the same mantra. They don't want you to build a bottoms-up movement. They don't want you to build a bottoms-up movement. So anything they do is to make sure people don't build a bottoms-up movement. So in starting the late 1800s and in the early 1900s, there was militant bottoms-up movements in the United States. People didn't fuck around. People were willing to take on the state, not in terrorism. Mind you, these were popular bottoms-up movements. Millions of people protesting in Times Square. Millions of trade unions organized, striking, okay? Shutdowns. Women led many of those movements, okay? By the 1930s, the elites were scared shitless. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, as I've repeated over and over again, was not a nice human being. He was a racist asshole. He was forced to give those concessions. Don't think he was some nice guy sitting in a wheelchair smoking his pipe, helping people. No, it's not true. It's just bullshit. Okay? He was forced. So the strength of these movements, so it's quite extraordinary. If you want to think about it, you got to give credit to these people. They forced the establishment to eliminate child labor, give clean water, you know, put infrastructure in, give highway systems, give schools, public education, Medicaid. All of those gains came at the result of these bottoms-up movements. So if you're an American worker today or a world worker, you have to cherish those gains because they were wins of those bottoms-up movements. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean that the reforms that they gave were the best. So let's not confuse them like the Democrats always say, oh, Medicaid, Medicaid, Medicaid. We're not here to just say we want to protect Medicaid. What we're here to say is that the gain of Medicaid or the gain of these things came at those bottoms-up movements. So in defense of those bottoms-up movements, we defend those gains. Does that make sense? It's a very different nuanced thing, but it's important to understand. All right. So that's that background. So during 1900 to 1970, because these movements were very strong, people fought, they scared the shit out of the elites. There were 11,000 strikes in the United States. 250 million people took to the streets. People didn't fuck around with the American worker. And if you remember, during this period is when World War II took place and ended. And the United States swarm, on the one hand, they had this very powerful bottoms-up movement among working people. But World War II had actually enabled the U.S. empire to extend itself from east to west 24 hours a day all over the world. So they were the empire, no different than the British. And that helped them also begin the development of the military-industrial complex. So on the one hand, the American working class was strong, had gotten concessions, and the U.S. was building out its empire. Somewhat contradictory, but that's what was going on. So, but between 1900 and 1970, the American working class blossomed. Every income sector, the lowest income sector, first income quartile, the second income sector, the third and the fourth, the wealthiest people, everyone's wages grew. Why? Because the working class fought. You have to understand that principle and you have to share that with people. But part of why I do these talks is that you guys have to learn how to communicate this to others. It can't just be me. You have to teach this reality that when people fight, they get what they want. When people sit around and don't do anything, their rights get taken away. All right. So between 1970 till today, starting, by the way, 1950, as I've mentioned again multiple times, the elites hated this fact that working people, who they considered peasants, could get their shit together. So they went on a war path to annihilate those bottoms-up movements by branding them as though they're being run out of Russia, the quote-unquote Red Scare. And so by 1970, all these bottoms-up movements were taken over top-down by so-called the not-so-obvious establishment, the lefties, okay? And the righties took over Wall Street, okay? So they had a collusion. The right and the left colluded to squeeze out the working class. So now you go from 1970 till today, over the last 60 years, what's actually happened? There's been no major strikes, movements. Maybe 2 million people have struck in 70 years, 60 years. Maybe 2 million people, total of 900 strikes. Compare 900 strikes to 11,000 strikes, 250 million people taking the street to 2 million. That's the real issue. What happened to these bottoms-up movements? What happened was people were given fools like Bernie Sanders, Jesse Jackson, the Kennedys, right? And you can go down the list, right? AOCs, Jimmy Carters, right? The whatever. They were given these characters who to placate the people, saying, don't worry, Bernie's going to handle it for you. Don't worry, Jesse Jackson will handle it for you. Don't worry, blah, 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 okay? So people said they would vote for the left, or Obama's going to handle it for you, or Trump will handle it for you. So people were brainwashed into thinking they didn't have to build these bottoms-up movements. So the big ugly bill represents a result of the fact that the American working class, the brainwashing of the American working class. So nearly $1 trillion cut in the Medicaid program. That's basically gutting all those gains of those movements, Medicaid. And that'll affect about 11.8 million workers in the first and second income quartile. Okay? So nearly $1 trillion. The food stamp program, you know, now it's taken advantage of in some sense, but not by everyone. The food stamp program was for working people, couldn't even afford, you know, food. That again started in 1939 in the midst of those movements. Well, now about $285 billion in cuts, and that'll affect about 40 million Americans. Okay. Now, in the midst of all of these cuts, there's going to be about a $3.8 trillion in tax cuts for the 0.1%. Okay. The 0.01%. Just mind you, during the pandemic, 600 billionaires increased their wealth by $2.3 trillion. That was another transfer of wealth. And by the way, what I'm sharing with you is not from a leftist standpoint or a Democrat standpoint. It's from a standpoint of working people understanding the wealth that they create is literally being transferred. Okay. And by the way, if you think about it, that $3.8 trillion in tax cuts, that means that the top 0.1% is going to get an increase in their annual wage by about $390,000. So if you're in the 0.1%, your wages are going to grow by $400,000. And if you're in the bottom 21st income quartile, your wages are going to get reduced by nearly 7%. Okay. And then obviously you in the middle of all of this, we'll come back to this. In order to pull this shit off, you have to make sure people don't protest. People are afraid to protest, okay? So you do alligator Alcatraz, right? It's all theater. Or you do the border wall, right? About $300 billion is going into that. This has nothing to do with immigrants per se. It has to do with really scaring people not to ever protest. Don't fight back. And the other piece is that, you know, there's $36 trillion in debt that the United States has. This is going to add another $3.3 trillion, which means that the government's going to print another $3.3 trillion. That means you're going to print money and transfer it to the elites. You get that? The swarm prints this money, transfers it to the elites, creates inflation, and that means a working class is going to pay for that. And they've increased the debt ceiling to $5 trillion, which means they can print up to $5 trillion in money. So that's the features of the so-called big ugly bill. How do you oppose this? So in opposition to this, you have the fake opposition, the No Kings protest, right? Totally top-down organized. Everyone the left can get people out there, but they don't lead them to build a bottoms-up movement. When they do a bottoms-up movement, it's actually a top-down bottoms-up movement. You see what I'm saying? They're able to reach people. Bernie Sanders comes. And by the way, Bernie Sanders says, we should not use the word genocide when we talk about Israel or Palestine. I don't know if you heard him say that. He says we should not use the word genocide, okay? So he's clearly a liberal Zionist. He's controlled opposition. AOC's controlled opposition, and they have variations of that. Zohran Mamdani speaks a little bit of anti-Zionism, but he's telling people to get ready to be part of the welfare state. Free shit, okay? He's not telling people to mobilize bottoms up to build an independent movement, right? That's not there. And this is very critical to understand. The not-so-obvious establishment will always dissuade people from building these bottoms-up movements. So to think that like the No Kings movement or the quote-unquote upset victory of this guy Zohran Mamdani, quote-unquote democratic socialist, is going to do anything is utter fiction. So you want to share that with people, okay? People may be, oh, look at, they did the No Kings protest. It's utter fiction. They're not talking about working people coming bottoms up and going at the heart of the issue. Who owns the means of production? Who's going to run the world? Who has the right to do that? And so, and on top of this, the military budget has increased to a trillion. Actually, it was a trillion. It's going to be a trillion, but another 150 billion. Okay. So that's again wealth transfer because the Lockheeds, the big corporations, essentially is moving money there. And then you're going to, and by the way, I think the amount of money that, Israel has gotten, you know, what is it, 30 billion, 40 billion so far. And Trump keeps sending money to them. So the only way you can pull all this off, the only way you can pull all this off is through censorship. The only way you can pull this off is through creating learned helplessness among people. And you have to give people all these gadgets and shit, social media, iPhone, this, watch, and basically create a meaningless life. And there's so much very interesting data done by anthropologists showing that during slave time when people were in the brutality of, let's say, just being whipped to do stuff or feudal times, the brutality was obvious, but there was a sense of some meaning to life. You know, you didn't feel so isolated. Nowadays, the brutality is not so obvious, but people have less and less meaning for life. Most people are very isolated. There's no real core relationships they have, friendships, death, community. And this is done by the social isolation that the swarm does. They don't want people to build community. They don't want you to have strong relationships. And this is what they rely on. So people get depressed. When you get depressed, it's easier to get apathetic. So you have, on the one hand, news being hit to you every day. Trump goes and just bombs Iran, does whatever the fuck he wants, right? Well, what can I do, right? You see the pictures of Gaza. And I never like sharing the brutality of those babies because I think what it is doing, it's a mental imagery like, oh my God, look what they're doing there. Oh my God, look what they're doing there. Oh my God, I can't do anything. Same thing with the Sigelman experiment that I talked about earlier. So you have censorship. You have algorithmic censorship now, okay? Targeted censorship, targeted manipulation of media like never before. And then you give people all this shit to do with gadgets and distractions. So everyone, you know, if you go to a family, everyone's got an iPhone. There's no more people listening to the radio or reading a book, right? Everyone's on their iPhones in their rooms. So you've created a socially isolated system, which is what the basis of the swarm wants. They do not want people mobilizing. They don't want people coming together and having conversations. And you have to also divide people up, divide and rule. So you divide the immigrant population from the blacks, and you divide the blacks from the whites. And that's what Trump is doing right now. You're dividing all these populations up so we don't look at who the real enemy is. And the Democratic Party, neither the Democratic Party, the existing trade unions are going to do anything about this, guys. None of them. Don't expect them to do anything. So when you come to that conclusion, you realize that it's only us. Our movement is actual working people who have jobs. They're creating value and they help build this movement. So the strength of this movement is going to come from you learning how to articulate and bringing people to the movement. So you have to keep it very simple. Number one is we are here to build a bottoms-up movement. And it is bottoms-up movements that have always changed the world, and it is bottoms-up movements that the enemy fears. And if you want to learn how to build a bottoms-up movement, you have to understand some theory and the science of systems and history. Come to us. Learn from us. Beyond that core, we also give people immediate solutions, how to take care of your health. new medicines from nature. Where does food come from? Sourcing good food. So you can, the swarm ain't going to do it. By the way, this bill also has a provision in there that any moratorium on the mRNA vaccines is not going to occur for another 5 or 10 years. Okay? So there's so much shit hidden in this bill. And also Big Pharma and New York Times is fully protected. Before, they were going to put some contain on their price gouging. That's not in there. Okay? They can price whatever they want. So over here, they talk shit. And over here, transfer wealth is taking place. And in order to pull off this kind of crime, they must make sure that people are afraid to speak out. That's the censorship. That's the learned helplessness. That's the depression and the apathy. So those are what we're facing. Okay? And so our movement wants people to get very good at talking to people, conversing with people. And then we've created this entire ecosystem to bring people. So if you're talking to someone, okay, I had a good talk with Glenn. What should I do? Oh, come to the orientation. Watch this video. See, we've created, what's profound is we're not just talkers. We say, okay, now you can do this. Then after that, do this. Then after that, do this. Then after that, do this. You see, we actually have a program. We're not just talk, bitch and moan. Ooh, did you see this video? Why? Did you see that video? Ooh, did you see fucking Tucker Carlson talk about that? Ooh, Candace Owens, really? Come on. These people didn't say anything at the right time. So that's what the swarm is also doing, giving people these social media influencers to act like they're anti-establishment. But none of them will talk about our movement. They know we exist. Because they're not interested in building a movement. Because what? They do not want us to build a bottoms-up movement. That's it. Once you crystallize that clearly, you realize, wow, I get it. I got to bring more people into this movement. I have to learn how to articulate this very simply. You got to keep it crisp and simple. They don't want working people to build a bottoms-up movement. I have learned how to build a bottoms-up movement. That's the only way out of this. If you want to learn, watch Shatter the Swarm. Come to our orientation. Become a warrior scholar. Become a leader. We have a program. We've created the university. We've created the infrastructure. You can't find this anywhere else. We actually have a tangible solution. Okay? That's what we've created. And those of you who can get on social media, get on the ground, hand out cards, bring people here. This is the only way out. There's no other way. It's foolish to think that Bernie Sanders is going to do anything. You know, the only way is we have to build a bottoms-up movement of working people. It's the only way out. So the good thing is when you come here, you realize, oh, shit, that's what I got to do. The bad thing is you got to get off your ass and go do something, okay? And you have to overcome the laziness as the swarm has embedded into people. So I see a lot of people here I've seen. Those people who are new, who've come here, connect with leaders in your local area, get the cards. You know, simple thing. Talk to a couple of people a day. Bring them to the orientation. Have them come. It's not going to be a short... This ain't going to be fixed overnight. We have to play the long game. Because if you're thinking it's going to be fixed overnight, you're going to enter learned helplessness. You have to say, things have been fucked up for a long time. I'm helping grow this movement. And every person you talk to, every person you bring to the orientation, every person you follow up with, and you educate them, you're doing them a huge service in yourself. So that's what needs to get done. It's actually quite easy. Don't complicate it. Keep it simple, stupid, the KISS principle. And I think, you know, we have Noelle here, who's one of our task force leaders for systems health education. We have Marianne Berry here, is one of our task force leaders for Truth Freedom Health, which is our core solution, bringing people in. We have Jolanta, who helps teach people about the clean certification movement. And then we have, I think, Ryan and others who teach people about our Open Science Institute. We have solutions. We're creating medicines from nature. We're educating people on personalized health, and we're teaching people how to create food that's cleanly sourced. Okay, these are tangible things we're doing now, in addition to educating people on how to build a movement. So the flyer for one of the working groups we want to look at, workers groups we want to look at, is Postal Service workers, because you can go look at the videos I did. I think Noel or Suresh has put up that link to the U.S. Postal Service. Study it. Understand what the Postal Service really is. They need to attack the foundations of the First Amendment so people are disabled and organizing. Questions? We'll take about 5 minutes of questions. And the way you do questions, Nicholas, if you can tell people, they put it in the chat and they'll call up them and just teach people how to use the chat. I don't know if Emily's here, but I'd like people to write down their chat. It lets me review it and then I'll call on you.
Yeah. So, so don't raise your hand. So please, use the chat. So if you, if you're on a mobile device, you tap your screen and a bar should appear on the bottom. And if you're on a desktop, you move your cursor around, a bar should appear on the bottom and there should be a chat icon. So message me or one of the co-hosts and you know, be succinct and concise with your question. And then we'll talk to Shiva or answer your question.
Okay, I see a question Suresh has put up here. Let me see. What is the United States Postal Service? Why is the infrastructure, why it is the infrastructure? Oh, okay. That's a link Suresh put up. Okay, that's not a question. So if you cannot, if you're having problems with the chat, Zoom made some changes recently to the turning on the chat. And Nicholas, make sure, if you have a problem, just raise your hand using the chat.
Yeah, make sure you click on participants and then go find one of the hosts to, and then send them the message to, that's the new way to do it on the update. So I don't see any.
Okay, we have a thing by Nathan Corbin. Do you believe that all illegal immigrants deserve to be deported? So Nathan, I've done a whole thing on this, but let me talk to you in the following way. The swarm doesn't really care about legal or illegal. They don't really care about immigrants, or for that matter, illegal immigration or legal immigration. What they do care about is always creating a fight, a divide and rule. There's something called nativism, racism, nativism, sexism, right? You always divide people up. Nativism is where you pit the local workers of one country against foreign workers. The second set of indentured slaves in the world were Irish. When the Irish came here to work, the establishment would pit them against the local workers. So one needs to recognize that anything when it comes to immigration, please have the orientation that it's not like they care about immigration per se. What they care about is doing divisions between the native workers and a new immigration, quote unquote, legal or illegal coming in so they can suppress wages. That's what this is about. Now, they will always use examples of criminal behaviors or criminal illegal aliens to emphasize that. But by and large, if you look at the number of quote unquote illegal immigrants, the United States policy crossed left and right. In fact, Obama did more to stop illegal immigration than Trump did during his first term. If you go look at the numbers, Obama was much more quote unquote brutal to illegal immigrants. Okay. So the reality is it's not like these people care about immigration policy. What they care about is giving people the illusion that they're doing something, but they need to have enough immigrant slaves to use to pit against the native population so they can keep this division going. They don't want the working class, be it immigrants or natives, organizing together. And then what's also left out of this equation is the military-industrial complex and the level of abuse that the U.S. imperialists have done to other countries is why those people are actually leaving those countries. We want to go to the root cause. The U.S. has actually put in lots and lots of dictators into these countries, brutal dictators that force these people to flee from their countries. Okay. So there's a systemic issue here that's never addressed. And moreover, illegal and legal immigrants bring massive amount of cheap labor to the United States, which is what's fueled the US Wall Street and stock market. What I believe that they're realizing is that, wow, we can do a lot of this labor now in the United States with AI, okay? So why do we need to do that? There's a much better way to increase profits. Maybe we don't even need to bring these people in. We get them out and we replace it with AI and robots. So you have to see this whole thing. Please don't get caught into, oh my God, the illegal immigrants. It's all theater. It's all theatrics. It really is theater, okay? Not to say there are some criminal illegal immigrants, just as there are criminal legal immigrants, okay? But that's not what it's about. And it's very naive to get lost in that, and that's precisely what they want you to do. Devendra Mani Kanathi says, Trump has called immigrants as slaves and the children the slaves of children. Everyone is scared to talk as most of them are immigrants. He has passed to cancel naturalized citizens. How do we go forward? Well, you have to fight, Devendra, okay? You know, what's happened is that one needs to recognize that immigrants who are coming here, the United States is quite an interesting country because the diversity of immigrants you have here is quite extraordinary. But there are two sets of immigrants who came to the United States. And I want to put this in context. I can talk about the Indian immigration. In the 1960s and 70s, the first wave of immigrants who came here, like my parents, when I came here, there were very few Indians here. So we had to fight for a lot of our rights. We didn't pussyfoot around. We had to work hard. The second wave of immigrants who came here, I don't know when you came here in the 1990s, were the Indian immigrants who profited off all the hard work the previous immigrants had done. They were not interested in really fighting for anything, participating in politics in the United States, or for that matter, anything. They came here to send pictures back to their friends back in Bangalore or Delhi that they got a BMW or this. Frankly, they were very exploitative immigrants, if you really think about it, okay? So I don't really give a fuck about a lot of those I'm talking about the Indian immigration. There were two sets. The immigrants who came here really supported the development of America, participated. And the next wave of immigrants who came were frankly scumbags. They came here on an H-1B, wanted to get here, they lived in their little cliques. They didn't even assimilate into the US culture. And I don't give a fuck about those Indians, frankly. And I don't know if that's true in I really don't, because they're the same people who are Zionists. They're the same people who are highly, highly racist, and they're just very selfish human beings. They don't even participate in U.S. politics to any manner. So I think you have to understand, among the immigrants there are, I wanted to focus on the Indian immigration. Yeah, that's not true. There are two sets of Indian immigrants. The Indians who came here early, they talk and they fight. The second wave of Indians who came here are pussies. They do not fight. And they're the same people who didn't fight in India, okay? They're always like making excuse. Oh, I cannot say this. Like, why? Because you want to preserve your BMW. You don't want to go back to India? So I don't really have respect for them, okay? Now, this is very different than the immigrants who come to this country from the brutality of their countries. If you look at immigrants who came from South America or Central America, I mean, the United States abused the fuck out of those people, all right? In Guatemala, the death squads that the U.S. sponsored, or Nicaragua, or in Chile or Uruguay, okay? All throughout South America, the United States supported massive dictators. And those immigrants that come here, for all different reasons they come, they're a very different type of immigrant. So there's no common sort of immigrant population, but you have to look at, some of them come here by choice. Some of them come here as high-end slave trade, like the H-1B visa people, right? Who come from India. But it varies, okay? So you have to put this in context. There's almost like a class struggle among the immigrant population too. There's different sectors within there. So I think my interest in the immigrant population comes, or legal or illegals, do they want to build a bottoms-up movement? Because there are lots of quote unquote illegal immigrants who are here, who are doing all the fucking work. I say put them on a path to citizenship and collect taxes from them. But the left and the right do not want to do this. They want to keep immigration always in this very mucky, swampy ground so they can always keep people in fear and use them for cheap labor. They don't want to really solve the immigration problem. I say take all the people who are quote unquote illegal, who are contributing, say, look, you have X number of years, you're going to start paying taxes right away and put them on a path to legal immigration. Because you could make $1 trillion in tax revenue just from that. The people who are scumbags, obviously get rid of them. But I think that's a very small minority. So I think there's solutions here. Next one is, do you think Trump will usurp the election process to prevent? Well, I don't think it's Trump. You say, you have to understand, Trump is a manifestation. Again, Furman from Hawaii, I hope you, as a warrior scholar, when you ask these questions, just take a little bit of time to reflect on what you just said. Do you think Trump will usurp the election process? It's not Trump. You should think about it as a swarm. Trump is a representative of the swarm, okay? To the extent that the swarm can consolidate power without doing elections or without even giving any semblance of democracy, they will if it's to their benefit. But they need to give some semblance of democracy. But at a certain point, they can do whatever they want. But it all depends on a state and time and how much infrastructure they put in to manipulate people and do what they want. I mean, the fact that the U.S. government can send, you know, six B-2s halfway around the world to bomb another country and come back, another sovereign country, that should tell you they think they're beyond the law. They can do whatever they want. Okay? It says it right there. So anything is possible. We live in extraordinary times. Anything is possible. Next one is Nicholas. What is this? I think we did Furman, right? Can you... The TFH movement is seizing the means of production quietly and not in a militant sense. Systems health, clean, raw, open science, side of some politics. Is there anything we can do individually, local politics, other than your presidential? Yeah, so, Joanne, this is a longer strategic question, which I don't want to do publicly. We're having some meetings on this, okay? But broadly, what I can say is that the electoral process is good if it helps advance the movement. The electoral process, the way the swarm has created it, takes significant amount of energy, okay? So part of it is how you focus that energy and how do you do it strategically. So we have had some discussions about that, but we should follow up if we can do that later. I don't want to do it publicly and give away our strategy to anyone that's listening. Jill Jones says, a big ugly bill will sell off public lands. There were huge layoffs across our national parks a few months back. Everything is calculated. The bill is calling for a moratorium on any AI regulation by the states to pave the way for the AI takeover. We must have a bottoms-up movement to stop it. Yeah. So look, it's not immigration. It's if you keep the eye on the price, the goal is maximization of profit. That's what this is all about, maximizing profit. So anything that they do that appears like they care about America, illegal immigration, they're building the alligator Alcatraz, just get really clear. This is all just theater. So they're doing this shit over here, and here they're maximizing profit. $1.2 trillion to the military budget, right? So that's what this is about. So don't get lost. And when you're articulating this to others, a lot of people, it's easy for them to get lost in the charade of what's going on. Ooh, Trump versus Musk. Trump, you know, Musk may form a third party, right? This is all just charade from not building a bottoms-up movement. I'm going to end on that. So keep it simple. They don't want us to build a bottoms-up movement. And if you keep that as your North Star, everything becomes crystal clear. If you don't have that as a central North Star, you're always going to ask these other seemingly interesting questions, but they don't get you to where you want to go. The goal is, are we going to build a bottoms-up movement? Marianne Barry gets up every day and she makes calls to bring people in. That takes work. Are you helping her do that? Or are you just asking sort of random questions? Okay? We have people come to our movement. They're waiting for some person with more knowledge to bring them forward, help them. So we have a deliberate program, an educational program, and you can help move based on, if you've learned a lot, bring others in. And this is what needs to happen. There's nothing else that we can do except grow ourselves and take care of ourselves. There's no one coming to save us. That's why our slogan is save yourself. And if these things become crystallized within you, it's going to spread very rapidly. But if you're not really clear on this, like, wow, we need to build a bottoms movement. What the fuck is he talking about? I don't know what a bottoms movement is. Huh? You know, if you don't get that clear, and that's why the big ugly bill is a great opportunity to realize what happens over 70 years of not building a bottoms up movement. This is where you get to. You get to a country going and supporting. I mean, if you're an American citizen, know that your tax dollars are going to pay snipers. I don't know if you know what's going on in Gaza. They're putting food out, and as children come out to food, they're shooting the kids. That's what your tax dollars is going to. Your hard-earned money. That is what it's going to. That's sick. And the only way out of this is building a bottoms-up movement. Not social media influencer like Candace Owens. I didn't fucking see her on October 7th. She's a scumbag. She was speaking to one of our warriors, and she was starting to praise her. I said, why are you praising this woman? I said, you need to get back involved in the movement. She's nonsense. Well, she says some good things. Yeah, that's why they have her saying some good things, so you don't build a bottoms-up movement. They will have all these people saying some good things. But they will never tell about building a bottoms-up workers' movement to seize the means of production, right? None of them. Because that's the real reality of what needs to be done. So we need enough people to get this clear. All right, everyone. Thank you, Nicholas. Thank you. If you can put some of those links and let people know. But, you know, become a warrior scholar. If you are a warrior scholar, help your leaders bring other people in so they can also experience this educational process. That's a way of you doing service to help others. And you have to learn how to articulate this. So join the local breakout groups. You have to learn how to talk about this. It's not straightforward. Thank you. Be well. Thanks, Nicholas.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within. And the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you. The Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people, back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing, Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote-unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com. So people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth Freedom Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there. But we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine. But I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inter-office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosol, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. and to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.